Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. We're going to continue this station's ongoing tribute to Walt for the first half of our show today. Walt Bodine died early Sunday morning at age 92. We're going to talk with some of the leading newsmakers in this town who visited with Walt so often during his years on the air here, and we'll hopefully get some phone calls here from our listeners as well. Later on, we'll move on, as Walt would want us to, with an absolutely terrific story of two women who raced against each other around the world back in 1889. It's an amazing story that pit a newspaper reporter named Nellie Bly against magazine journalist Elizabeth Bisland. Their stories are recounted in a new book that's drawn some strong reviews, 80 Days, Nellie Bly and Elizabeth Bisland's History-Making Race Around the World. But first up, our tribute to Walt Bodine. You can join our conversation, 816-235-2888, or drop us an email, uptodate@kcur.org. Now, I wrote on Facebook yesterday about just how generous Walt Bodine was when I first came here to KCUR back in 2002. You know, Walt could have been threatened, but he wasn't. He was always encouraging and always interested in what we were doing here, always forward promoting our show, as they call it in the business, every day when his show went off the air just before ours did here for Up to Date. And he was just a prince. As I said, he could have been threatened, but he never was. And the lesson I learned from Walt, we went to lunch one day in the first week I was here, and he told me just how quickly a talk show can spiral out of control, you know, with a caller, with a guest who goes off on a tangent. I think it was his way of saying to us, saying to me, kid, always be on your toes. You never know what's going to happen next. Listen well, listen hard, because things can always change and change very quickly. And that was a lesson that, as you can tell, I remember even to this day. Well, a few minutes ago, I had a chance to speak with Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, who was probably interviewed by Walt as much as anybody was, as a councilman, as a mayor, as a reverend, and obviously as a U.S. representative. Here's what Walt had. Here's what Emanuel Cleaver had to say about Walt's interviewing style.
Well, I probably was interviewed by Walt Bodine back in the early 1980s, and any time anyone was interviewed by Walt Bodine, certainly I felt it. There was some intimidation, because everybody in this town knew that he was the preeminent interviewer in this community. And the thing about Walt that I think other people will certainly say is that Walt Bodine knew a lot about a lot of things. And the worst thing that, you know, could happen is for him to move into an area that you were not comfortable in addressing.
Then it was trouble, eh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Walt Bodine was not only a great interviewer, but he was a teacher as well, because he knew the history of Kansas City perhaps better than anybody else. In fact, I think he wrote a book about it.
Yes,
and,
sure.
So, you know, there was very little that an interviewee could sneak in on the interviewer, that his name was Walt Bodine. And, you know, Walt Bodine was one of the monuments in Kansas City, and probably his memory will still be. I mean, there's the Liberty Memorial, there are the sky stations atop of Barber Hall, and mm-hmm. And then there's Walt Bodine, and his stature, if I can use the play on words, in this community, in this metropolitan area, is as tall as either of those two physical structures that I mentioned.
You know, Congressman, once upon a time, you too were a talk show host here at KCUR. And as someone whose hours, my hour followed Walt for so many years, you know, one thing that always struck me about Walt Bodine was his ability to connect with the audience, which is such an intangible thing. You know, some hosts can do it, some hosts can't do it, but Walt certainly had that quality in spades. And I'm wondering if you can reflect on that a little bit, because, again, he was able to connect in a way that so many others struggle to reach that kind of level with an audience.
Well, Walt never spoke down to the audience. And when I was contemplating responding to an idea about a show at KCUR, I told Patty Cahill that I'd like to have a meeting with Walt Bodine before I did anything. And I sat down with Walt for lunch. And one of the things I will never, ever, ever forget at the luncheon, he said, "You'll be okay. Don't talk down to the audience."
Yeah.
And he said they resent it. And I said, okay. And Walt did it without thinking. I mean, I don't think Walt Bodine went through a period where he said, okay, let me be careful so that I won't talk down to the audience. I think it was as natural to him as breathing.
Yeah.
And he just knew people so well. He knew this community well that it was something, frankly, that Walt Bodine was born with, and he probably couldn't understand clearly why some of us struggle to do that connection,
because
he did it so easily.
You know, this is definitely the passing of an era, isn't it?
No question about it. Walt Bodine may be the last of the old line news reporters and interviewers. Because he came up in an era where we didn't have all of the cable channels and we didn't have 100 other stations that you could look to for information or satellite radio. And so most people, if they were interested in keeping abreast of things going on in the community, that wasn't a better place than the Walt Bodine Show.
Yeah.
And so that era is gone. But in some way, it really needs to be recorded for the history of this community,
mm-hmm.
because Walt Bodine actually was the man. And I think you could speak to anybody else, and there's probably very little jealousy. You know, it's difficult to be jealous of somebody who was so clearly above everybody else in the community in terms of trust. People trusted Walt Bodine and the information he delivered.
Couldn't agree with you more. That's Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver. And Congressman, thanks so much for taking some time. We sure appreciate it today.
Sure. Good to talk with you.
Take care. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're continuing this station's ongoing tribute of Walt Bodine, who died early Sunday morning at the age of 92. We're talking to some of the leading newsmakers in this town about their times, their experiences interviewing with Walt Bodine. It happened so many times to Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, and certainly to Dick Berkley, the former Kansas City mayor, also was interviewed so many times by Walt Bodine. Mayor, so good to have you, too. Good morning.
Thank you. Good to be on the line with you.
It's a big loss for this town, isn't it?
Oh, tremendous. He was a remarkable individual. I can remember, I think probably one of the first interviews I had with him was in the late 60s, and I was on for several hours for some reason, and he just handled the program so well. He dealt with the callers, those that were a little out of line. He handled them with respect, but with the knowledge that we were trying to deal with the issues. And he was remarkable, and for 70 years or so, just hard to believe.
You know, I was talking to your successor, Emanuel Cleaver, in the mayor's office, Mayor Berkley, about Walt Bodine's ability to connect with an audience. Because, you know, as the years have passed, believe me, I've grown to appreciate his ability to connect with people in a way that's so remarkable. Tell me about that. What was it about Walt that enabled him to connect that way, Mayor?
Well, I think, first of all, he was a smart individual, but he was also very knowledgeable, and particularly about city issues, but beyond that as well. He also was very straightforward. He was candid. He was not in the gotcha era. He was trying to get good, solid information so his listeners could know more about the city, be more civic-minded, be more informed, and he did an excellent job of it. He put the person he was interviewing at ease. He put the caller at ease, and they had a reasonable conversation, and it just he was a man of trust and respect, and everyone just thought this was the place to go to get good information about what's going on.
And Mayor, as Congressman Cleaver said this morning, Walpo Dean knew Kansas City, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He was probably one of the most knowledgeable individuals on the on what's going on in Kansas City that anyone that lived in the community.
Yeah. Well, Mayor Berkley, always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Oh, a pleasure, and I'm sorry about the circumstances, but you're doing a great service by honoring a great individual.
All right. Thanks, Mayor. And believe me, there's lots of long faces around KCUR here this morning. That's Mayor, former Mayor Kansas City Mayor Dick Berkley. Let's go to another very prominent newsmaker in our community who's been with Walt so many times as a county legislator, as a county prosecutor, as a state lawmaker, and now as a U.S. Senator from Missouri. We're talking with Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill. Senator, thank you so much for taking some time. Sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. I just learned of Walt's passing this morning, and it feels like I've lost a member of my family.
Isn't
to tell
that
you
the truth? Yeah.
And I think everybody in Kansas City feels that way. There was something about him, the way, you know, I think, you know, we have a view of journalism that it is a cold method of communicating. And Walt Bodine brought a lot of warmth to it. Even when he was putting you on the spot,
mm-hmm.
you just never got the sense that there was any maliciousness about him. I'll never forget, some people in Kansas City may remember, that back when I was the Jackson County prosecutor, my husband at the time got caught with marijuana on one of the gambling boats.
I happen to remember that one, Senator.
Yeah, I was out of town on a conference, and I had a previously scheduled, I came in and was with Walt, gosh, as often as once a month for many years, and I had previously scheduled to be on his show the day I returned from my conference, and all of this had happened while I was out of town, and all of it, my advisors said, oh, don't go on the radio right now. You're going to get too many questions about it. I said, no, I'm going to take my medicine and go in. I'm not going to blow off Walt Bodine, and I came in, and I sat down, and I'll never forget, of course, it was the first question he asked. Of course, he was a professional journalist.
Of course.
And you know, he didn't let me off the hook, but he didn't do it in a way that felt like it was a gotcha deal.
Mm-hmm.
He did it in a way that he was asking the questions that Kansas Cityans wanted answered.
Right.
And it turned out that show ended up being helpful because talking to him felt like I was talking to my uncle in a way, my stern uncle in that morning. But it, I think he sensed that the more I got it out there, the better it was for both the people in Jackson County that had elected me. And even, frankly, for me personally.
You know, I keep coming back to this theme, Senator, this ability that he had to connect with people. That's such an elusive commodity in the radio business, I've come to find out. You know, and he was such a master at it, and it's something, and I'm saying this, I'm repeating myself here, I've come to appreciate it more and more as the years have passed. He really could connect with the Kansas City area in a way that I haven't seen anybody else able to duplicate over the years.
And on the radio, Steve, as you know, it's harder than it looks.
Of course.
To listen carefully to what someone is saying and also prepare what you're going to say next.
Yeah, yeah.
And what he was able to do is give his undivided attention to a listener who had called in or to a guest that he was interviewing. He totally focused on what you were saying. And what he said didn't appear to be forced or contrived. And, you know, I've interviewed with a lot of people, and sometimes you can see that they are formulating their next question while you are giving you the answer to the last question. And they're not even listening to what you're saying because they're so busy thinking of the next thing they should ask. Walt never needed to do that. And when you realize how many years he did that when he was severely visually impaired, where his notes would be, you know, scrawled on a yellow pad with the letters being half the width and length of the yellow pad so that he could see them. He really, people, I don't think, have any true appreciation for how easily he did something that was very, very difficult.
You know, he always wanted it to be very organic, never scripted, always sort of off the cuff, very conversational. He was insistent on that. And that's, again, an era that maybe has passed public radio by in a certain sense. But boy, he was good at it. He was just an absolute master of just having a natural conversation. He made it natural because, as I said, no scripts, no preparation in a strict sense. Just sort of roll with the conversation and let it unfold in a very natural way.
You know, Diane Rehm captures a little bit of Walt Bodine.
Yeah,
she does it to some extent
in Washington D.C. Right.
Correct. The national NPR host, who obviously has a huge national following, I don't think she's quite as good as Walt was.
Yeah.
But it's in that mode where she is focused on really heavy-duty policy, complicated policy, but does it in a very conversational way. And Walt could dissect the most complicated topic down to something that was totally relatable with just a surgical precision and with everybody feeling like they were talking to their neighbor instead of talking to somebody who was as bright and as informed about so many things as Walt was. And obviously, nothing was he more informed about than his beloved Kansas City. And he and I would sit. I always hated it that the commercial breaks were non-existent on NPR because you always wanted to talk with Walt because Walt, you know, he knew everything about everything in Kansas City and the stories he could tell. I have had many, many wonderful long conversations. He and I used to go to lunch every once in a while.
Sure.
And I would just sit and soak in Kansas City history, particularly all the political characters in Kansas City. He knew them all very, very well, intimately, in fact, in terms of things they had done and not done and scandals and foibles and accomplishments. I learned an awful lot at Walt Bodine's knee.
That's Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill. Senator, we sure appreciate you calling in today. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Steve. I'm glad I had an opportunity to lift up and pay compliments to a character, and I mean that with all the affection in the world, a true Kansas City character that will not be forgotten. He and Mike Murphy will go down as two of the legends of Kansas City in terms of radio and with Walt, with other, obviously, other journalistic endeavors also. So my best to all of Kansas City, because when I say I grieve for his family, I grieve for all of Kansas City.
Absolutely. Senator, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks,
again,
Steve.
That's Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill. We had an email from former Kansas City Mayor Kay Barnes. She says, "We will all miss Walt. He truly was and is a Kansas City icon." Laura emailed us with this memory. Once when Terry Gross was in town to give a book reading, Walt was seated in the front row. A host announced that Walt was in attendance, and the applause erupted. But not just polite applause. It went on for quite a while, so much so that Terry Gross shot a sidelong look to see just who was getting such an enthusiastic reception before she could even begin her talk. Well, now joining us is psychologist Harriet Lerner, who was a longtime guest on the Walt Bodine Show. Her big best-selling book was titled Marriage Rules, A Manual for the Married and the Coupled Up. And Harriet, so good to have you. Good morning.
Oh, it's an honor to be here. I'm actually looking at a photo of Walt right now at the microphone on my computer screen. And it's very hard to believe that he's not with us. Walt did not go gentle into that good night of retirement. So, you know, going off the air, so I sort of thought he would never go. And it's hard to believe he's not here.
Well, that's really true. And an hour with Walt, Harriet, was what? What was it like to be interviewed by Walt Bodine and to sit in the same studio with him?
Well, I think your previous guest said it so well. He was connected, not just to the audience, but he was connected to his guests. And for me, and actually I think for everyone who knows radio, Walt Bodine was the heart and soul of talk radio. And he had this amazing capacity to both have a big personality
mm-hmm.
and to leave room for the personality of his guest.
That's,
really
that's very,
bring out the personality of his guest.
A very good observation, Harriet. The whole idea in public radio is, you know, the host isn't the star, the guest is. And boy, Walt was good at that, wasn't he?
Well, exactly. And when you're as knowledgeable as Walt, and often more knowledgeable than the person you're interviewing, it's very difficult to make that kind of space and to bring out the very best in your guest. And he really did evoke the very best in everyone he interviewed.
Now, when you came on the air with, him, Harriet, you didn't, like, rehearse questions and answers ahead of time, right? This was really, as I was talking with Senator McCaskill about, really kind of an organic conversation, right?
Absolutely. He first interviewed me in 1985 and then probably a dozen times after that. And I wouldn't think about the interview before I was right there with him. And it was simply like schmoozing with a good friend. And he was the best.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Steve, you know, I'm glad you're doing such a fabulous job filling his great big shoes.
Pretty big shoes, Harriet.
Really big shoes.
That wasn't too intimidating when I first started or anything like that at all, you know?
Oh, I'm sure not, right.
Well, that's Harriet Lerner, a psychologist from Lawrence, one of her latest books, Marriage Rules. And Harriet, always good to have you. Thanks so much for taking the time.
It's my honor.
You bet. Good luck. Bye-bye. I want to go to Ken Eberhardt from St. Joseph. He is John Mark Eberhardt's brother, John Mark, the longtime book editor for the Kansas City Star, who died last week. And Ken, know how much, how sorry I am for your loss, and I guess how sorry so many of us are to lose your brother so early, Ken.
Thank you. I just wanted to call, and on behalf of my brother, John Mark, to offer condolences to Walt's family. And for them to know that my brother admired him, he appeared on KCUR with my brother, and we just wish to extend our most gracious and compassionate condolences to his family at this time.
Well, you're very kind to do it, Ken, and what I know is a very hard time for you and your family, and what a terrific loss John Mark is. I've missed him on the book page for any number of years now, and what a terrific, singular talent he was for so many years for the Star, and all our condolences to you, Ken, and your family as well.
Thank you very much.
You bet. That's Ken Eberhardt of St. Joseph. He is the brother of former book editor John Mark Eberhardt from the Kansas City Star. Let's go to Al Brooks, the former mayor pro tem of Kansas City, Missouri. Al, nice to have you. Good morning.
Steve Krasny, thank you, and good to be with you this morning.
It's always good to have you, Al, and I'm wondering about your memories of spending as much time as you did being interviewed by Walt Bodine over the years, Al.
Oh, my God. I think it started back, Steve, when, first of all, I want to say condolences to this family.
You bet.
Because I know what Walt meant to this community, therefore I know somewhat of what he meant to this family, but I think Walt's relationship with me started when I was a cop, and there was a fellow that the court had found him guilty of second-degree murder, and he was already down in Jeff City, and I got information that he was innocent, and I was a rookie cop at the time, but I continued to work that case on my own time, and eventually got the prosecutor and his this person's attorney and the judge to listen to me, and they brought him back to court, and he was freed. And I believe that was my first initial relationship with Walt. But I think one of my most memorable ones is that, and this may not be known to too many people, Walt and I ended up going to Israel together in 1975.
Oh, really?
And so my wife, and there were about eight of us from Kansas City, about 100 and plus all together for the International Conference on Muslim, Christian, Jewish Relations in the Mideast.
And that's a way to get to know somebody, Al.
Oh, yes, yes. And so what happened is that we left Kansas City together. And now, Laurie Newhouse and his wife, Marty, Laurie was the one that organized the Kansas City group. And Rabbi Gil Shurham and his wife, and must have been about 8 or 10, my wife went. And Walt, of course, was solo. He went by himself. Well, when we got to Israel, the smoking was so much on these buses. There were two buses. So Walt, I had a badge at that time that said, stop smoking, I'm breathing. And so somehow Walt made a replica of that and put it on his chest and mine was made out of little metal stuff, and he put it on there in paper. And we ended up separating the buses. My wife was a smoker at the time, and she was on one bus, and I was on the other bus. And all throughout Israel, and we were going to those memorable sites. Walt and I were talking about that, and I never forget this. They said it never rained. That this was in the summer of 1975. And they said it never rained this time of year. And so I noticed I'd get up every morning and jog around. We were on Mount Scopus, and I would jog around and down and through to the All Nations Cemetery and all in there. And so the Garden of Gethsemane and jog in there. And so one time I said to Walt, I said, Walt, they said it never rains. I said, every time I'm out here, this ground is wet. I said, but what it is, it's the gardener. I said, tell you what I'm going to do. Why don't we make a bet with everybody, a dollar a piece, that it's going to rain, and I'll get up early enough, and I'll spray the buses. So so I did that, and we started collecting dollars from folks, and then they called on later on. We had to give it back. They called it on because of no rain, no place except around the International Hotel where we were living. But it was what of an experience. And we would go to sites, as I say, that were historical in the Christian faith, and that Israel being certainly the birthplace of the three major faiths. And the thing, I never should forget, we were going to where the tomb where traditionally Jesus was laid and the stone was rolled away, and so you could go in. Walt said, listen, Al, don't go in there because these old folks cannot roll away the stone.
That's not going to work, eh?
Oh, my God. But, and one other thing. You talk about who knew Kansas City. The two walking historians of Kansas City were Jane Flynn. You remember Jane Flynn?
Yeah, oh, boy, very well.
And don't let the two of them get together like they often did.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I was called in to give the African-American perspective, the integrated. Now, although they knew about the jazz and 18th and Vine and the Rose Room at 12th and Vine and all those kind of things. But it was, and when, I never shall forget when Lena Rivers Smith became the first African-American to be on television, Channel 4, and Walt talked about that often, and supported that effort, and always said it was it was not soon enough. But it's one thing, as I've heard folks say about Walt, in terms of he knew every subject, but with me, and I'm sure with others, he called me in to talk about one thing, and we got off on so many other things that he knew just as much about.
Absolutely,
as the subject that he called you to talk about. What a great, and there was a move afoot. A petition being circulated to name the Truce Bridge there at Volcker and Truth.
That's right. Again,
After Walt and myself. And I would hope, not for me, but I would hope that spirit will still be there. Forget about Al Brooks. But I think since Truce has been what it is, and Walt was very, very familiar with that, because Walt was a progressive, a humanitarian. His voice, his demeanor, his very being transcended race and religion and national origin and gender and East and West of truth. And he often spoke of that in an outspoken way. And I think that since truth is what it is, that has more and more recognition that what happens East of truth or West of truth affects all of us. And Walt certainly stood for that, not divide, but bring it together. I would hope that initiative would continue, and the city council or the state, whomever is involved in that, would consider naming that bridge after Walt Bodine.
Al, I want to thank you for your time. That's former Kansas City, Missouri Councilman Al Brooks. And Al, thank you so much. And that's a cause that should continue and endure in the weeks and months to come, to name the bridge outside our studios here, the Walt Bodine Bridge, right here at 48th and Troost, just outside our studios here. Let's go to Charles Wheeler, the former Kansas City, Missouri mayor, former state senator from Kansas City. Mayor, it's so good to have you. Charles, good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Mayor. How are you today?
I'm well, Dave.
You interview with Walt only about 175 times, right, Charles?
Yep.
Yeah. What was it like to be interviewed by Walt Bodine, Mayor?
Well, it was a great privilege, and we plan to carry on our Saturday luncheons in his honor.
Who gathers at those Saturday luncheons, Charles?
Well, most of the really brilliant Democrats.
Including yourself, first and foremost, right?
Well, we have one Republican there, you know, so we can't be criticized.
Yeah, yeah. How big of a loss to our community is the passing of Walt Bodine, Charles Wheeler?
It's a great loss. And, of course, he deserves a lot of the credit for that Kansas City is holding its own among the major cities of the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. How many times did you interview with him? What's a wild stab at a number, Charles?
25.
Yeah, at least, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Now, there was a lot more radio in those days, you know, a lot more newspaper coverage. Local government is much less well understood these days.
Charles, thanks so much for calling in. We sure appreciate your time today.
Okay. Anytime.
You bet. That's former Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Charles Wheeler. And now joining us is Aaron Barnhart, the former TV critic for the Kansas City Star and a frequent guest on Walt's shows over the years. Aaron, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, Steve.
Good to hear from you again, Aaron.
Yeah, so I'm listening to the reminiscences and listening to some of the and going back and checking out some of the audio and some of the reminiscences that were posted last year at about this time on KCUR.org.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of this has to do with a gentleman that I heard a lot about, read his memoir, familiarized myself, obviously is associated with two, three generations of Kansas City life, but was somebody that I was only privileged to know really toward the end of his life.
Right.
I came here in 1997, didn't really know much about Kansas City, and was did not actually make my first appearance on the show until about 6 or 7 years in. Walt was already pretty much confined to a wheelchair.
Right.
Obviously, he didn't see real well. And it was his producer, Ashley Powell, at the time, mm-hmm. who had booked me. And we sat down and began our conversation. And at the end of the hour, and I don't remember if it was on the air or immediately off the air, but Walt and I connected.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Would you please come back next month?" And that was the beginning of being a regular on the Walt Bodine Show. And so for me, from that point onward, I got to know Walt, a man in the twilight of his career, and really in the twilight of his life, and watching the way that he managed that, learning about his extraordinary career. Here's a man who, from the time that he was mustered out of the service after World War II,
right.
Got up in the morning and knew exactly what he was going to do for 66 years.
That's
he was
right.
going to broadcast.
That's right.
And he did that every day. There were some bumpy patches, as we all know, here and there. But basically, every morning, whether it was for Channel 9 or Channel 4 or KMBZ Radio, and finally his final home here at KCUR, Walt always was there. And he was never the biggest thing in town, but he was always the man. He was always that voice on the radio. And at a time when Kansas City was probably a lot smaller and a lot more more small town
right.
than it is today, he was a part of, I would probably say, the majority of households at some point or another knew and felt familiar with Walt Bodine.
Well, Aaron, we've got to scoot on to another segment here, but I really appreciate you taking some time, and we wish you all the best, Aaron.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
You bet. That's Aaron Barnhart, the former TV critic for the Kansas City Star and a longtime regular monthly appearances on the Walt Bodine Show, a regular panelist for Walt for so many years. I guess that's our tribute to Walt Bodine. Such a sad moment here for this day, and such a passing for our town as we say goodbye to Walt Bodine.